Okay, so I'm going to be talking about a qualitative study that I have been working on, for about a year now. And I started in January 2010 when I was on sabbatical. And basically, it's interview-based research. And I was interested in exploring the information literacy practices, attitudes, and perceptions among university faculty. And I did this at York University, as I mentioned, which is my home institution. And I've been interested in this area for quite a while, actually. I think part of it is because teaching is one of my favorite among the things I do. And of course, we all have to work with faculty when we're teaching. And I just wanted to understand more about their perceptions on information literacy, because we so often have to work in partnership. And something then that motivated me even more to do this was when I went out and looked at the literature, there actually isn't an awful lot on this topic. I have got a bibliography at the end of the slides, and I'm sure these will all be posted to the conference website. So you'll get to see that. But basically, there's only about 10 or so survey-based studies on this theme. And there are even less qualitative studies, which involve focus groups and interviews. There's work by McGuinness. There's work by, you probably know, Sheila Weber in the UK with Bill Johnston and Stuart Boone, a very extensive study. There's also work from Manuel et al. And also from a Canadian study by McNamara Morrison at the University of Guelph. But there are not very many. And if you read any of the other studies, they all make that point, actually. What does tend to exist, and this is something that McGuinness says in her study done in Ireland, actually, she says that there's a lot of secondhand accounts. So librarians talking in the LIS in literature about their experiences of faculty behaviors and perceptions and practices. Now, it's not to be said there's no value to secondhand accounts, but obviously, you know, direct evidence from faculty helps as well. So that was sort of a bit about the motivation. I did it at York because I actually wanted it to have relevance at my own institution, maybe a chance to apply and use those findings. So this kind of research journey, if you like, began for me actually in 2007 when I did a survey at York University of faculty. And then, as I mentioned, in January 2010, I started with the interview research. And I should mention that the same broad research questions guided both stages. But obviously, the data collection techniques and instruments were different in both cases. And the kind of data they generated was different. But what I found was they complemented each other quite well, the two approaches. So I wanted to look at faculty conceptions of the definition of information literacy. I wanted also to understand what faculty thought about students' information literacy skills. Were they happy with them? Were they not happy with them? I wanted to see if they thought information literacy instruction is important. I also wanted to establish what they were doing around IL. And what are their beliefs about ideal future frameworks for planning and delivery of information literacy instruction. I'm not going to talk much about the survey that I did and the results that I found. I will mention it a little bit, but if any of you are interested in that, and I actually have a fairly comprehensive literature review there as well, in the next issue of the Journal of Information Literacy, it will appear, and I believe that's coming out quite soon. But I'm going to focus on the interview research today. So just a little bit about the methodology, because I think, I don't want to bore you, but at the same time, it's important, right, that I don't just not mention anything about that. So I wanted to interview 24 faculty. And to date, I have interviewed 22. So I am at a point where I can share, I think, meaningful and representative results with you, because not only have I interviewed those faculty, but I've coded and analyzed it all using in vivo. The focus with this interview research was under undergraduate students. So with the survey, I looked at graduate students. This was just undergraduate students. And I looked at business, science, and social sciences and humanities, a third from each of those disciplinary areas, so I could get a good cross-section of disciplines. And I also, one thing was, before I interviewed faculty, I did establish that they required in one way, shape, or form, they had an expectation that their students would apply library and information research skills. Not necessarily they were teaching them, but they had an assignment where they, you know, they'd have to apply them. And 50% of the faculty I interviewed are arranging IL instruction with librarians, 50% are not. And I was very interested in both groups, but you know, I wanted to hear from the faculty who aren't talking to librarians, who aren't bringing them into the classroom, and find out, does that mean they're not doing any IL or not? What's going on there? So, my first question was, how do faculty define information literacy? What's their definition? So this was my first question. I didn't give them any hints, and some of them knew already, I have to say. You know, some were quite comfortable with it, and some less so. Why was I interested in this? Well, if you read the research that it's very interesting, the research done by Weber and Johnston and Boone in the UK, and they interviewed 80 academics in UK institutions. They say if you look at the definition of information literacy that we have and the standards we've developed in different countries, they've largely been developed by librarians. And so bringing more light onto the faculty perspective is important. And the other thing was, I wanted to see, would they define it more narrowly, more broadly, when they talk about totally different things? So what I found was they talked about it more narrowly than, you know, ACRL does in its five standards. Now, I didn't really expect them to sort of list the 87 outcomes in the ACRL standards, but what did they talk about? So really two big pieces here, access and evaluation. About 18 faculty talked about those areas. Maybe not a huge surprise. And so what did they have to say? Here, as I said, it's the faculty voices, so I'm trying to bring in their words, not mine, as much as I can. So this social sciences faculty member says it's that you know how to find stuff, and also the whole concept of search terms. If I'm going to interface with this index or this thing, you have to be reflective about what you are asking it. Its students' ability to access and analyze research material mainly from different sources. It could be the internet, it could be databases that are in the library or not. And this is quite representative of what they said about evaluation. Now, they didn't talk about all the dimensions that Standard 3, for example, embraces. They talked about the ability to assess information and its sources critically. That was the piece they talked about when defining it. So information literacy for me means being able to not merely find the information you need, but being able to assess the information that you need, where it's coming from, to be able to think critically about it and making your decision about whether that's information you want to use. So that was a pretty representative quote of what many of them did say. So did they talk about anything else? Well, a little bit, yes. The other one, that theme that came up, I guess, would fit within standard one, which is determining the nature and extent of information needed. And as we know, that's something that relates to the ability to define your information need, to be able also to define your topic. And so here's an example of the kinds of things they had to say. So I think for undergraduates, I don't need them to know the full range of what's out there, but they need to get the concept that there's a range. And this faculty member says, information literacy is about fluency in knowing the difference between different types of sources. So what I was finding was they were expecting students at this level to start getting to grips with this standard one, but not to master it, because they recognized it was high level. So they want students to start recognizing that there's academic literature, what it looks like, what the difference between scholarly and popular is. They do want that to start happening. Okay, so anything else? Standard 4, Standard 5, no. And when they were asked how to define information literacy, I think, you see, they think about it, a lot of them thought about it as defining the nature of your information need, accessing the information and evaluating it, but not applying it, not using it. And then also, Standard 5, the economic, legal, and social issues surrounding information and its use, and all about using information ethically. I did have two people talk about ethical use of information and go on to talk about plagiarism, but these were not big themes. Now, don't take from this that they didn't think that was important, academic integrity and plagiarism. Subsequent interview questions revealed that they do, but they just don't think of that as necessarily being information literacy. So maybe, I was thinking, maybe when I'm talking to faculty in future, maybe when at York we're trying to profile what we can do, we should maybe make it more clear that if they're interested, citing and academic integrity is something we can talk about. Okay, so this was a really this was really interesting, what they said about students' abilities and skills. It was sort of a case. I would ask them the question of, you know, can you tell me about your experiences of students' strengths or weaknesses in the area of information literacy? And the floodgates would open, because they had a lot to say on this theme. And you know, what did they have to say? The bottom line, I guess, is that they are not happy with where students' skills are at. And that probably isn't a big surprise to any of you. I mean, that's really well documented in the literature. Many of these studies have found the same thing over and over again. And my survey found that as well. And sort of how were they reacting to that? I found that generally they either displayed or they sort of conveyed despair or surprise or dismay or a combination of all. Some of them were quite understanding and empathetic about it. Others were quite frustrated. But I think there was a general sense among the faculty I interviewed that they were, you know, they were resigned to accepting this. And also what I thought was interesting is that they felt that it has to be recognized in academic, in higher education. Most of them felt this, that academic skills need attention, and that the students are not going to develop these skills without guidance, without incentives, without being motivated to do so. It's not just going to happen through osmosis. And so does that fit with the literature? Yes and no. McGinnis in her study, Thomas in her studies, said, you know, no, faculty think students are going to learn this as they go through their degree programs, as they work with their peers, as they work on their assignments, that information literacy doesn't need any formal attention. That's what they were saying in their studies. McNamara Morrison at the University of Guelph, her studies were actually more similar to mine. Basically, I think we need more research in this area. But I think maybe what's going on there is that, you know, McGinnis and Thomas's studies were over 10 years ago. And maybe since then, more faculty are recognizing that academic skills need attention. Okay, so skills need improvement. Information literacy instruction is important. A lot of the studies, and these are just some of them, finds that as well. That's where studies are largely unanimous. And it's even beyond the library literature. I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to read Academically Adrift. I think it's by two sociologists, Aram and Roxa. And they draw on a huge body of evidence which shows that critical thinking and complex reasoning are actually getting worse among students at universities in the United States. and it's a really interesting week. And some of those are actually information literacy competencies. And CAR, I don't know if you've read The Shallows, what the internet is doing to our brains. I found some of the things that they were saying to me, the faculty, reminded me of what I had read in CAR's book. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, so, okay, I had 22 interviews. Most of them were an hour in length, some of them an hour and a half. Some faculty went on for 2 hours. So I have a lot of, it's great, but I have a lot of data, and for me to show you everything that they said about student skills and abilities with information literacy, it wouldn't be possible. But these are a few things. Defines and articulates the need for information, ability to access information efficiently and effectively, the evaluation piece and sort of what Standard 3 embraces, and the citing and academic integrity. I'm going to say a little bit about each of those. In every case, at least 18 faculty mentioned these out of 22. So obviously these are big themes. Okay, so with defining and articulating the information, the science faculty member says they don't know where to get started, or they start in the wrong places. So that is a pretty representative comment. What they tended to say was, you know, they'll start with a news article instead of a scholarly journal article unless you give them guidance on that. They'll start with Google and they'll start with Wikipedia unless, again, they're given some guidance to go into the databases. So they would tend to work with search tools that are in the popular mainstream because that's what's familiar to them. Mm-hmm. 11 of them mentioned Wikipedia, not all in negative terms, but they want them to move beyond that. And then the other piece that defining and articulating the need for information addresses is this needing to define your topic. So this is a humanities faculty member, and I think very eloquent humanities faculty member. He says, the hard part of doing an essay is figuring what to write an essay about and how to frame it and how to determine what is relevant to learn about to do it, and that is very hard. They are not good at that, but I am sympathetic because I think it is extremely difficult. They are much happier if you say to them, pick one of the following topics. So I guess two things coming up there. One is they tend to have difficulty defining their topic, tend to start too broad, and the faculty said that they have to show them the links to other literature, to related topics, to narrower topics, to get them down the right path, because they just can't go down that path themselves very often, especially lower level undergraduates. But even when they have their topic, identifying the range of literature they should pull on or should draw on is very challenging. So there was sort of, that's what he was talking about, and a lot of them talked about this particular theme. Okay. So what about the access theme? There was a sort of general consensus that this is a lower order skill, access. Getting information and accessing it, those I think are sort of the basic skills, is what a business faculty member said. They were both positive and negative on this front. So they said, you know what, they have good internet search skills. They'd often sort of say internet search skills. So they're good with Web 2.0, they're really good at navigating video and music, and they're also good at getting quick facts off the internet. That they do well. And they said that in lectures, this was really enhancing the learning experience. So this social sciences faculty member says, in the lectures or in class, we were talking about somebody, and the kids all have their laptops. I drop a name and the next thing you know, they have pulled them up. The lectures are a different phenomenon. So that was, you know, obviously a positive thing. But yes, they have concerns about access. I think they're sort of, I got the impression a lot of them felt the searching skills should be easier, even in the scholarly sources, but they just weren't doing it very well. So basically here, a business faculty member says, what's really disappointing is you think those skills would translate. So they used to be so familiar with the bookshelves, but they don't seem to be as familiar with the electronic resources and how to navigate them, because there are tricks. So I think what they're sort of saying here is they're a wired generation, and they're really good on the internet. Why isn't this translating into the library e-resources? They often don't know the library e-resources are there, and when they do, they aren't necessarily searching them as well as they would like. So this science faculty member says, searching for things requires you to know jargon and to appreciate that there is jargon you don't know and to find the jargon so you can search. Do they have awareness that jargon exists? I don't know. My feeling is probably not. So, you know, subject terms, controlled vocabulary, you know, too difficult. Maybe we're not surprised by that, but I think the faculty were, and they were disappointed. Okay, I think maybe the bottom line thing with the skills, the biggest finding for me, was that faculty care most about critical information literacy. And that I was quite heartened because I was recently reading Weber and Johnston and Boone's work, and that was a big finding in their work. This is what faculty really think is important. So this science faculty member says, I think the gross problem, if I were going to pick the big problem, is largely knowing what's acceptable and what is not. Okay, so it's partly about thinking about information and its sources critically, but I want to stress that it was actually a lot more than just that piece, though that piece is very important. In Standard 3, they talk about, you know, critically thinking about information sources, but they also say a very important part is that the individual can incorporate the selected information into their knowledge base and into their value system. So they said it's really important that the students can process the information they have, right? That they can compare old and new information, that they can reconcile different points of view, conflicting evidence, that they can synthesize that, that they can then bring it into their knowledge base. And they want them to function as autonomous thinkers and to apply critical thinking in the information domain. That is really very important to them. I have pages and pages about this thing. And so as a result, I'm going to be selective and just to show you a few things about some of the other things that surfaced related to critical information literacy. I'm using the words of this humanities faculty member because this is quite representative of their concerns. So often these kids, in one sense, think of themselves as information literate because they are fairly good at finding stuff using Google, but they are often not very sophisticated about evaluating information, and that's really where the hard work is. They think that what they are looking for are facts. They think you can find a clear, definite answer, that this is it, and that there aren't all these other factors, gray areas, and we really don't know. Part of growing up, too, is learning to live with uncertainty. But I think it's also a school system thing. It's all rubrics and so laid out. It's kind of formulaic. The high school, there's a lot of themes that come up there, and I'm not, it speaks for itself. But I would just add that about 10 of them talked about high school without any prompting and said, and I haven't been to a session here yet about the high school theme, but I'm hoping to go to one tomorrow, but I believe that's something that is coming out in those sessions, that you know, that they're not necessarily coming in equipped in the way people would like from high school. And that's what faculty were saying to me anyway. So then there's some of the comments that they made I labeled as sort of internet age, technology, and critical information literacy skills. So this is where faculty were sort of talking about the impact of technology on their critical information literacy skills. And I don't want to say it was all negative. It wasn't all negative. But there were concerns there. And when I was sort of tagging my data, I would sort of, quite a lot of things I would tag as quick lookup or quick scope. And this is where they were talking about the fact that students can look things up on the net very quickly, like a piece of information they want to know, like a chemistry prof talked about what are they called, chemistry tables, or like, now I can't remember, chemical structures.
Periodic tables.
The periodic tables, or, you know, there were all kinds of examples they gave me of things that they would have used to have to really learn more, but now they just look it up. And some of them thought that was okay, and some of them were concerned about that. So this is a business faculty member. She says, I mean the idea that we no longer need to know things because you can look them up bothers me. So that was her take on it. And then I said I labeled a bunch of things quick scope. So this was where they were talking about students on the surface of information and not really going deep. So this humanities faculty member says organized text of argument or a single piece of organized text is really harder for them. They're used to bits, lumps, in the way that web pages do. You kind of click here and you kind of skim. And business faculty member says, I just call it thinking to the bottom. They are not skilled at doing that. They are skilled at staying on top. I think they know a lot of things, a little about a lot of things. So knowing a little about a lot of things is okay, right? It's better than, you know, knowing a little about a little things or something. But they aren't going as in-depth, and reading came up, not reading accurately, not reading critically, not being able to cope with long text came up. And that just reminded me of Carr's work and what comes up in The Shallows as a theme. So just to finish up with the skills, citing and plagiarism. I would say that there were only two faculty who said that it wasn't really a big thing for them. Like, the other 20 all said, yes, I am concerned with this, I address it in my classroom in various ways. And it wasn't even so much that they want them to get all their periods and quotes that are, you know, all the punctuation in the right places, though they think that's important. They really want them to understand the ethical issues. That's what's most critical. And they said, you know, I see too many incidences of plagiarism. I'd like to see fewer of them. So, you know, this business faculty member here talks about hammering home this notion of values and sort of says you just really, in a way, you can't do that often enough. And that they need to know that in their professional lives as well. Because I don't want something really bad to happen to them in their professional lives. Later on, when they maybe haven't acknowledged the source of their information. So the other interesting thing about this was that a lot of them said, when they're looking at students' assignments, they said that the bibliography and the in-text citations are often diagnostic. So it's not just a question of can they cite accurately, that it's also a sign of what sources did they use. Also, were they able to synthesize what they found well? Were they able to reconcile different points of view? Have they got a good balance between what they're summarizing and what they're quoting? And those are high-level skills, but they expect them to start developing them. And this is just a business faculty member talking about how diagnostic it is for him. And too often I would hear the faculty would say to me, too often their essays are like collages, you know, collages of quotes. So, yeah. So that's just a few of the highlights with the area of skills. And I'm gonna now move on to another area, which is faculty's information literacy instruction practices. And what did they have to say? And I don't know. If you remember at the beginning, I said that I had two groups of faculty. I had one group who are bringing librarians into the classroom, and I had the other group who are not. So I'll start with the group who do bring librarians into the classroom. I think a key takeaway I had from that group was that one size does not fit all. I mean, probably no surprise, they have different pedagogical approaches. Also, just because a librarian is coming into the classroom, you cannot assume that they are doing most of the teaching. That doesn't always apply. So I kind of had two groups in the faculty I interviewed. The first group are sort of the embedded group, I sort of like to call them. So this is where information literacy is being thought about at the program level, and it's strategically integrated in one way or another, right? Through program through a course in the program that focuses mainly on information literacy, something like that. And there were five of these faculty. What is interesting is that in three cases, they were actually doing as much instruction, and in some cases, more instruction than the librarians were. And in all but one case, they had assignments that were focusing on the development of one or more information literacy skills. So you know the kinds of assignments where they're designed to help students define their topic, to compare search tools, to develop search strategy for annotated bibliographies. So that kind of thing was going on more with the group that where it's embedded, which is maybe not surprising. The other faculty, which was seven faculty, are more what I would call an integrated group. So this is where, I guess, a model we're all quite familiar with, where information literacy is integrated into a course, but it's not being thought about at the program level, so more like the one-shot type of scenario here. So what about this group of faculty? Six out of seven, the librarian was doing more of the teaching. And also only two out of seven had an assignment that focused specifically on the development of IL skills. More of them had a research-based paper or something like that. But one thing I do want to stress is that in all cases, the librarian or the faculty said to me they felt they were doing some instruction themselves. Like in most cases, it was, I helped them with guidelines on their assignments. I tell them about relevant databases, I tell them about relevant journals to search, to look in, I tell them about citing, not extensive instruction in most cases, but some, right? So they're not like abdicating responsibility to the librarian. They are doing a little bit themselves. So what about the group that are not doing any IL instruction with the library? Does this mean they're not doing any instruction in information literacy? And I was really interested in this because in my survey I found that just over half of the faculty said they were doing IL instruction, and then half of them said they're doing it themselves. And also Leckie and Fullerton and also Cannon in her study, they found the same, that faculty often choose to facilitate IL instruction themselves. So was this any different? It's quite a small group, 10 faculty, but what I did find was that only three of them were saying to me, I don't do any information literacy instruction, and the rest of them said they do. And four of them said, well, actually, we do a lot of this. And for example, in history, they were saying it's a real focus and priority in our program. And in this group of four, three out of four have assignments focusing on one or more IL skill. So that was interesting. Disciplinary differences. I said in my abstract I talked a bit about disciplinary differences and then realized I may have bitten off more than I can chew. But here's one example. Science, a bit of a different kettle of fish, I found. That generally they're not too concerned, particularly in the physical sciences and the life sciences, about students' library information research skills until third and fourth year. And that is because in the first and second year, they have such big classes, they have to use the textbook a lot, there's a lot of content to cover, and there's a lot of lab reports. And so usually it's third or fourth year before they even write an essay. In health sciences, somewhat different, I was finding, though. In humanities, social sciences, and business, different. First and second year, they are expected to use the library. They are expected to have information literacy skills. So what about the faculty who do not engage in information literacy instruction? I only had two of them. I have two more people to interview. There was only two, which has in a way surprised me. But what they said was very typical of what comes up in the literature. So this business faculty member says, I think they should have this by the time they come to me. And if they don't, they should figure it out on their own. And this science faculty member said, it should be easy because we have a lot of well-organized databases and there's a specific place that you go They should know how to use these things. Science is very well structured. You really only have to go two places if you want to use the primary literature. So he thought they should know. And I guess one thing I want to say is that even though most of the faculty I interviewed were adopting information literacy instruction in one way or another, there are issues, lack of time, high school not fostering IL skills sufficiently, students' IL ability vary, partly because they come from different high schools, partly because it's not being planned for at the program level, right? Faculty's pedagogical practices typically emphasize covering the content. So what I would get a lot of them saying, my colleagues do this, right? My colleagues basically think that IL's not their job. So maybe I wasn't talking to those people because they have assignments that require library research, I'm not sure. But these were some of the challenges that came up. So what I'm going to finish with is just a few more slides about faculty beliefs for desired future frameworks for planning and delivering information literacy. I just mentioned that faculty talked quite a bit about challenges. So are they hopeful about the future? Do they think that things should stay the way they are or not? And so my basic question is, what would the information literate university look like to you? Where would instruction be taking place? Who would be teaching? Would it be mandated or optional? And a lot came up here again, so I'm only actually going to focus on one key finding and then finish up with a few concluding thoughts. So the results surprised me, I have to say, given the literature I had read and given my survey results. 19 faculty out of 22 think information literacy deserves attention in the context of curriculum planning. And here is one business faculty member who sort of sums it up quite well. Muhammad is not going to come to the mountains. The mountain has got to go to Muhammad, which means the students are not going to go on their own somewhere to get these skills. It's going to have to be built into the program for them. Why was I surprised? In my survey, I asked them, I'll wrap up. In my survey, I had asked them about information literacy instruction. And I had said, you know, do you think it should be taught in class or outside of class? And 39% said outside class. And so this seemed a bit of a contradiction to me, but maybe they thought I meant in your class, because here they're saying it should be planned for at the program level, right? But not necessarily in their class, so I'm not quite sure. Also, the literature has findings along those lines too, for example, particularly McGuinness's study. So these are the three models that they thought would work, tiered, mandated, and sophisticated up within the levels within programs, right? That was one model. 9 faculty said, I think that model would be good. Second model is what I call course intensive within the program. So think about it at the program level, but think about it at one course in that program. It's maybe a research methods course, a dissertation course, an independent study course, where they're focusing on research and where it seems a good fit. And this is what a chemistry faculty member actually had to say about it. And the third model was a standalone course on critical skills, academic skills, but within a broad disciplinary context. So within science, within business, within social sciences. So that was the 3 faculty member chose the second, 3 the last. And some of them chose the remaining, chose a combination, or said they weren't sure. They thought one or the other approach would work. So I just have, and then I'll open up to questions. I just have a few concluding thoughts, implications for practice. Information literacy education is important to faculty, and there do seem to be opportunities for dynamic and constructive collaboration. But we need to be sensitive to faculty conceptions and priorities. There is a need definitely for more advocacy and for librarians to frame what it is we can do around information literacy and clearly articulate what we can bring. When I asked them about roles, they seemed to think our role was largely around access. And I think that's something we maybe need to to be more clear about that we can do more than just teach students how to access information. IL programming in academic libraries must be fine-tuned with faculty perceptions in mind, and the critical information lens, which I come back to, being so important. They want that to be a focus. And then finally, I think just a flexible approaches, you know, we've got to be flexible, and maybe adopt a two-pronged approach. Continue to do library-based IL programming, which we've always done, but put more emphasis on working with educational developers and academic support units to build faculty development, because they want to do IL instruction themselves quite often. So maybe the consultation model will work better in some cases, and it gives them a choice. And working with people like the Writing Center on campus and Learning Skills is something I think they would welcome, because they so often talked about research, writing, reading together when they talked about skills. And there's room for more research to gain a deeper understanding of why faculty are not adopting IL instruction. We need to understand more about their roles, about collaboration. I think that's something that needs to be explored more. And finally, their perceptions of delivery models that work. I would see those as areas particularly needing more research. So thank you for bearing with me. I'm sorry if it was quite long. But there's my bibliography, and those are my contact details.